you go to coasttocoastam.com, you can see the tab for that, and it'll click, it'll take you to the new beta version of the website. I put up there, there's some, a new photo. If you go to the, I think it's the About page, and you can find out about George Norrie. And then if you scroll down a little bit, you see a cool photo of me with my pipe. I love the pipe part of the photo and the wispy smoke. It's very Art Bell, you know, sort of my tribute to art in photo. But I was just smoking that pipe, actually, a few minutes ago. I was out taking a walk on a beautiful night here in the upper Midwest. While I was walking outside, I was looking up at the stars, thinking about our first guest tonight. We'll get to him in this first hour, and then we'll leave a little time to get to some calls for Bart Sabrell as well. He's got a new documentary out about the faking of the moon launch, as he believes happened. And we'll talk about his new evidence for the faking of the moon launch coming up later on this hour. For Apollo 11 and subsequent flights to all have been faked by NASA a la Capricorn 1. But fresh from a walk outside, where I smell sort of woodsy now after the pipe, or at least woodsy after a forest fire anyway, we'll come back. We'll do a little crypto news, and then we'll get to our first guest right out of the box, Bart Sabrell, on his latest documentary about the faking of the moon launch, coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Bart Sabrell is a very accomplished maker of documentaries. He's got a cool website, too, which you can link up to through coasttocoastam.com. About 20 years, he's been doing television productions for all the major networks, what to say, and many of the minor ones as well, including some top awards. And I really enjoyed the latest DVD. I just got it in the mail. Bart, is the Moon Hoax DVD, is that brand new? Bart? Uh-oh, okay. Sorry, I was just, maybe I beat him to the punch just a little bit. We have Bart standing by. Cool. Bart Sabrell, Moon Hoax, is that the latest that you have?
I'm sorry?
Is your DVD the latest one that you have out? The one I just got, is that brand new?
Are you talking about A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon?
Exactly.
Well, it's not brand new exactly, but it's a brand new to most people. It's been suppressed, I guess. So
okay.
Most people are getting it for the first time.
Okay, well, that's
brand
fine.
New for them.
I just want to make sure I was framing it right, because it was brand new to me, and I just didn't know whether it was brand new to everybody. So A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon is it makes the case as best as I've seen it made yet for why this the moon launches of Apollo 11, et cetera, were faked. I don't know that I buy it yet, but if anybody's going to convince me, it's going to be you.
Well, I appreciate that. I think you have a great show, and I appreciate you actually watching the film before you interviewed me about it. You'd be surprised how many people don't do that.
Well, they're wasting their time, because it's not fair to talk to somebody without seeing that. And I thought you did that really well. It's riveting, actually. And you get to all of the photos and all of the film that exists, and you make your case in A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon that this was a hoax, that this can't possibly have been true, that the astronauts were in on it, that they knew that they were faking these images that were being beamed back to the Earth on purpose. And then the images that supposedly happen up on the moon itself come as a result of studio trickery. Am I summing it up okay?
I think you did a great job. Well, it's great being on your show. Appreciate it.
Okay. So I'm watching. Let me get one thing out of the way at the beginning, because I was sort of thinking at one point you were talking about how Neil Armstrong had never addressed the issue of whether or not he had gone to the moon, that he's never given a proper full length TV interview. Is that correct?
That is correct.
OK. And that you have clip of Neil Armstrong talking about the moon launch and talking about the moon landing and speaking in what you describe as cryptic terms. Can you be a little more specific about that?
Well, on the 25th anniversary, I guess it was 1994, it was the first time he had spoken publicly since the initial press conference 25 years earlier after the alleged event. And it appeared to me that he was holding back tears. And there was one particular part of the speech that he had apparently deliberately memorized and made sure that he looked up and addressed the audience. Now, the audience was a group of high school students touring the White House. And lucky for them, at that particular hour, they were getting into this particular room where Neil Armstrong was addressing the nation on the 25th anniversary. And he said the following to the students: "Perhaps someday you'll be able to remove one of truth's protective layers." Now, you can read into that what you want, but having done 10 years of investigation into this and spending about $1 million, seems to me he was trying to say something there. And certainly, when you look at the footage we uncovered, which is in the movie, of him faking being halfway to the moon, it all starts to fall into place like the pieces of a puzzle.
Now, how old is Neil Armstrong now?
Well, I forgot what his birthday was. I used to send him birthday presents from time to time. He's in his 70s.
Okay. So let's say 70. Some of the other astronauts are in their early 80s. What would be holding them back from saying now? I mean, what do they have to lose at this point to just come out and say, you know, Bart Sobrell has been right this whole time?
Well, they've got a lot to lose. Number one, if it were just one of them who had walked on the moon, then maybe it would be easier for that one person to confess. Unfortunately, he's like confessing for, you know, a dozen or so men who are part of these missions who are still alive. It would be one thing to turn yourself into the police, say you robbed a bank, but it would be another thing to give the name and address of all your cohorts on it. Secondly, he would be ruining the reputation of America internationally. He'd become the new Benedict Arnold of the nation. And
would he? Why would you say that?
Well, I mean, I'm saying what they would probably think of themselves doing that.
Okay. All right. And so, but there's no, I mean, at this point, he doesn't need the money. There's nothing that in there. He's probably set and established well enough that he doesn't need to, or any of the other astronauts. Why, if he's trying to hint at that, in as you present in the DVD, a funny thing happened on the way to the moon. If he's trying to hint at that, why not hint more than once at that? And why not be more explicit about these clues that he's trying to get the word out that he didn't really go to the moon?
Well, I wish you could ask him that, but he won't give an interview on the subject. In fact, oddly enough, you may remember from the movie, which they can read about at moonmovie.com, there isn't even a single still picture of the first man to walk on the moon, not a single one. It's as if the guy did not want that liability. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. The greatest accomplishment in human history, and Neil Armstrong being the first man to walk on the moon, you'd think there'd be at least one photograph of the guy as the first man to walk on the moon, and there's zero. Can you imagine that? I mean, he has never given an interview on the subject, not to Time, not to Life, not to Newsweek, since he allegedly walked on the moon. Not to Barbara Walters, not to Walter Cronkite, and neither has Michael Collins. So you have two of the three guys on the first mission to the moon who refused to be interviewed on the subject. Now, in the second film called Astronauts Gone Wild, we tracked them down. Now, and that was not a pleasant sight. Our car was rammed off the road. We were harassed by the police who obstructed our civil rights as free press. And other zany things happened. You know,
Actually, I thought of you on that because while I was watching the video and you said you were going through the number of astronauts who have never given an interview, I thought, gosh, didn't one of the astronauts like punch some guy in the nose for claiming that the moon launch was a hoax? And so I went online and I looked it up, and it was you. And so it was Buzz Aldrin. Is that who it was?
Yeah, it was. And it was okay. The cheek.
It was the cheek.
Yeah, okay. But I turned the other one. So
okay. So, but he. So you had called him. I don't know. I'm going off a FoxNews.com story, but it said that.
Oh, then it must be true.
Well, you had called him a liar and a thief, or you had called him a liar and stealing money for speaking about something he didn't really do or something like that.
Well, they actually got that correct. And I wanted to admit to the listeners that I was wrong to do that. I certainly didn't wake up that morning and say, I can't wait to call Buzz Aldrin a liar, a coward, and a thief. And I'm sure he didn't wake up that morning and say, I can't wait to punch Bart Sobrell. The heat got turned up a little bit.
And, or maybe he did.
And I realized that I was wrong to do that. Now, I was doing my best at the time with what I knew. Certainly, they have not walked on the moon, and that's a fact. And certainly, I consider it a moral issue and a spiritual issue for the truth to come out. And my zeal to do that, you know, I called him what I thought he was at the time. But to tell you the truth, there have been times in my life when I've been a liar, coward, and a thief. So therefore, it's wrong for me to do that. The Bible also said to speak respectfully to your elders, which I did not do. And I also wasn't kind of loving the guy. I was kind of being harsh with him. And so I realized that I was wrong and that I provoked him into punching me. And I apologized to him for that.
You have since apologized to him?
I have, absolutely.
Okay. Did he take your apology?
He did. In fact, the day later, he ordered a copy of A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon from moonmovie.com.
Okay. But he maintains that he did this. And he's I mean, because that doesn't pop up in the movie, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, or in any of the material I saw anyway, where he says to you, look, I did this. I did do it. And the idea that astronauts won't say that they did it isn't true.
Well, actually, if you go to moonmovie.com and you rent the second film, I don't know if you had time to watch that, called Astronauts Gone Wild, which we got that from The Punch. He admits to me being correct on camera. Then he threatens to sue us if we show that particular footage to anybody. I'm showing him the footage which you saw at the end of the film, which is largely while people believe that we did not go to the moon. In fact, 4 out of 5 people who previously thought the moon landings were real, when they watch A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, reverse their opinion. That's one of the reasons why a film that's not exactly brand new is new to most of the world, because it has been suppressed. I mean, the BBC bought the film and then banned it 3 days before it was supposed to air. Now, in this particular footage, I've got two camera crews there, and we set up a monitor, and we show them this amazing footage which he shot, which is the only known unedited footage from the moon mission. And he says, I am going about it the wrong way, that my motives are self-centered, that I want to become famous by propelling my career like this, that I'm going to become a famous person, and I have wrong motives for wanting to expose the truth. Now, how can I become famous if I'm wrong?
Okay.
The guy is admitting on camera that I'm right. And he's,
so wait, I just want to make sure. So that you're saying you're taking that as an admission that you are right.
Admission. If you watch Astronauts Gone Wild, he says, what an ego I must have to want to propel myself like this, that I want to become famous by being the one who was known for having exposed this. Now, if I'm wrong, I'm not going to be famous about anything except for being crazy.
Okay. I follow your rhetorical logic on that, but I'm not sure if I understand exactly what he meant when he said this. But, okay,
well,
let's just assume.
Well, get Astronauts Gone Wild.
Okay.
From moonmovie.com, and you'll see his own admission. You'll see Alan Bean say that he did not go through the Van Allen radiation belt. Now,
well, that's a key part to this. That's a key part to this. The Van Allen radiation belt, as you say, you make the point that we couldn't survive that, that no human being could survive going through that.
That is correct.
Okay. And that the astronauts admitted to you that they didn't go through it then?
Well, Alan Bean admitted that. For your listeners, and a lot of people amazingly don't know about this, but about 1,000 miles above the Earth and extending an additional 25,000 miles lays a lethal band of radiation called the Van Allen radiation belt, humbly named after the gentleman who discovered it. Well, this field of radiation is 25,000 miles thick. The only time in human history any nation has claimed to have gone through it would be to the moon. They'd have to go through it to the moon and back. 6 times going and 6 times coming back, for a total of 12 times, approximately 12 hours in this field of radiation. Now, the space shuttle, Gemini, Mercury, Skylab, and all that stuff orbits well below the radiation belt. Now, when the space shuttle in 1994 went up to 365 miles, right, which is about 635 miles below the beginning of the field of radiation, they were afraid and descended to a lower altitude. In fact, with the shielding of their spacecraft and the shielding of their spacesuits and with their eyes closed, they could see fireworks going off of the radiation hitting the retinas of their closed eyes, and they descended to a lower altitude. And here's the thing. CNN issued the following report, which I'm going to quote word for word. The radiation belt surrounding the Earth is more dangerous than previously believed. Now, if the astronauts from Apollo missions were in it 12 times, 6 times going to the moon and 6 times going back from the moon, why is it that the space shuttle astronauts who are 635 miles away from it know more about it than the astronauts who are in it 12 times? See, that doesn't make any sense. How can it be more dangerous than previously believed, which was the moon missions. How come the guys who are 600 miles away from it know more about it than the guys who are in it 12 times? Unless, of course, the guys who claimed they were in it for 12 times were, in fact, not. And that's what the report means. It's more dangerous than previously believed, and no one connected the dots to that.
How many people are we talking about who would have to be in on this conspiracy to have faked the moon launch? Obviously, you know, what, four crews of three or four crews of four, or, and then plus all of the launch controls?
Well, that's the number one question I had, certainly, Ian, was how could they, you know, keep it a secret from that many people? That seems preposterous. You know, I started off as the biggest gaga moon landing fan probably on the planet. How ironic. And now I'm the biggest critic of it. You know, it's like Paul in the Bible going from killing the Christians to becoming their leader, you know. The fact is that there are only three eyewitnesses to every moon mission. Now, there was the guy who made the glove and the door and the boot. But you know how the government is. The left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. And certainly once they go up into Earth orbit, there's only three eyewitnesses. And get this, no independent press coverage on the greatest event in human history. There's only a TV picture controlled by the federal government. Now, when a funny thing happened on the way to the moon, you'll probably remember that dolly shot going past all the computer consoles. That's seconds before they put a man on the moon for the very first time. And look at that again, Ian. You know what they're doing? They got their feet kicked up and they're kicked back and they're watching television like the rest of it. People don't realize that they launched a satellite shortly before that called the Chester satellite. That was to simulate transmissions coming from the moon so that the ground crews could rehearse. Well, what the government told us, which was a lie, was that the Chester satellite crashed into the ocean. That's so they wouldn't know that it was still up there simulating transmissions coming from the moon during the alleged moon landings.
Okay, let's get back to this coming up in just a minute. In fact, let's go ahead and give the phone numbers out now. We will get to open lines coming up later on. But Bart Sabrell is the documentarian behind A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. And he is the kind of the number one proponent of the moon hoax theory. If you haven't gotten a copy of it, you can link up to it easily through coasttocoastam.com. And we'll get to your questions and comments. I'm not an expert on space or the Van Allen radiation belt or anything that's pro or con Bart's argument. So I'll turn to you and see what you would say to Bart. Would you take the it happened, get over it position and try to disprove it? Or do you accept this theory? We'll find out coming up next before we get to open lines next hour on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. We got a full boat of calls, and one of those might be yours, so hang on for a second. We'll be talking with Bart Sabrell, the documentarian behind the best-known of the moon hoax DVDs, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. Watched it earlier today. We'll talk with Bart, just a second, about his latest DVD and the claims that he makes, that he has nearly ironclad evidence that the Apollo 11 and others, but Apollo 11 in particular, was faked. And one of the things he gets to a lot is how the Van Allen radiation belt is unsurvivable by human beings, unless we had like a lead-lined rocket. And I got to ask him about that because I haven't found any other place that confirms that. But your questions and comments, too, coming up for Bart Sabrell next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett in for George Norrie. Hey, Bart, something tells me this next half hour is going to be so lively. Let me book another half hour with you next hour. Is that all right?
Sure.
That way we don't have to race to get everybody in before the top of the hour, and we'll just delay open lines a little bit. So we'll hold Bart over until about 50 minutes from now. So more chances for you to get on this conversation. All right. So before we get to the phones, there was one other piece I had left on this watching A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, the latest DVD from Bart Sabrell chronicling his attempts to explain how we didn't really actually make it to the moon, that this was all faked. I was looking up the Van Allen radiation belt because I'm the dumbest guy I know. So I thought, well, gosh, if that's unsurvivable, if you can't survive it, well, no wonder. I mean, he's got to be right. But every other science site I went to said, of course you can survive the Van Allen radiation belt, including a quote I saw from the guy after whom the Van Allen radiation belt is named, Dr. James Van Allen, right? And he said that he called that theory of yours, he called it total nonsense. Have you been in contact with him?
I believe he's deceased. His protege, who is still alive, this is his logic. You ready for this? You might want to sit down if you're not.
Okay.
The latest expert on the Van Allen radiation belt says the following. He knows for a fact that it is not lethal because the astronauts went through it 6 times to the moon and back. Okay?
Okay.
So that's the problem. Every other scientific institution claims that the moon landings are real when they're not. So he believes that the Van Allen radiation belt is not lethal because the astronauts went through it to the moon. Because he's assuming that the moon landings are real. Do you follow this kind of circular logic here that's collapsing in on itself?
I don't know that I would call it that, but, I mean, here's what I'm referring to. A quote from Dr. James Van Allen about the Fox TV show about the fake moon launch. And you did that one, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Was that yours?
I was on it and was associate producer on it.
Right. He said, it's an ingenious and entertaining assemblage of nonsense. This is Dr. James Van Allen. They claim that radiation exposure during the Apollo missions would have been fatal to the astronauts is only one example of such nonsense. And I don't know. I thought that the idea was that if they go through it fast enough, if you rocket through it, you'll be okay. Or it's a low to moderate amount of radiation. You say no.
Well, what is approximately 600 miles away? I mean, you're in Los Angeles, right?
No, I'm not, but I'm in the upper Midwest, but go ahead.
Well, what major city are you near?
I'm in the Twin Cities. So
okay, and what major city is about 600 miles away from you?
Okay, let's say Chicago.
Okay. You got to imagine something that is so radioactive that if you went outside and closed your eyes, you could see the radiation with your eyes closed. That's how dangerous the Van Allen radiation belt. So if he's calling it nonsense, just like everyone who walked on the moon says, thinking otherwise it's nonsense, then he's in on it.
Okay.
And the fact is that if you can see the radiation from 600 miles away, like the astronauts in the space shuttle could in 1994, then I would say it's very dangerous. And there's got to be a reason why CNN reported the following. The radiation belt surrounding the Earth is more dangerous than previously believed. Now, previously believed is when the astronauts allegedly went through it to the moon. How can the space shuttle astronauts, who never got closer than 600 miles to it, how can they know more about it than the Apollo astronauts who went through it 12 times?
Well, let's put that aside for the moment and just say, if the previous thought was that it had a low amount of radiation and it turns out to have a moderate amount of radiation, then it would follow logically that it is more than they had previously thought.
Yeah, but the point is, how can detectors 600 miles away be more accurate than detectors in the middle of it?
Okay, I'm not sure I understand that, but let's get to John.
Well, the Apollo crew allegedly had detectors, I'm sure, with them inside
right.
the spacecraft. So how can their detectors inside the middle of the Van Allen radiation belt be less effective than the ones 600 miles away?
Like I said, I'm not sure I understand that only because I don't know enough about how the moon launch rockets were insulated against the Van Allen radiation belt, and maybe they were better insulated so they didn't have to worry about that. But let's get to John in Lima, Ohio, because a lot of people agree with Bart Sabrell, east of the Rockies. John, which side are you on this, John?
Hi.
Hi.
Actually, I had a comment and a question. My grandfather worked with Steve Armstrong's, Neil Armstrong's father. His name was Steve. And
right.
according to what my grandfather said, Neil Armstrong and the other astronauts saw things on the moon that they could not talk about. So when I weigh the two scenarios side by side, you know, the scenario of actually sending people to the moon and not letting them talk about what they saw, versus the hoax, I'd rather have the hoax.
Because you don't want to consider that they were able to see something on the moon that was really scary.
Yeah, they were going to risk the lives. And, of course, the tax dollars that were spent is kind of on both sides of the aisle, because if it was a hoax, I imagine there was money that disappeared there as well.
Right.
But, yeah. You know, we're all net zero no matter what.
Well, the money piece is definitely part of the argument for Bart Sabrell. Talk about that, in terms of how you feel like this may have been a big financial scam, Bart.
Well, the people who knew that the moon landing was fake before me said pretty much most of what your caller is saying, that it's all about the money. I mean, that's what Woodward and Bernstein said, follow the money. It was reported on the news that plastic ice cube trays in Iraq cost $20 each when they're 50 cents at Walmart. Now, where's the money going? Apparently, no one cares, apparently, or reporters aren't doing their job or something's wrong with this picture. The fact is there are many spurious reasons why people say that the moon landing pictures are fake because there's aliens on the moon or whatever, whatever, whatever. They don't care what you believe as long as you believe that the moon landings are real. And so what he has heard directly or indirectly is that, well, the moon landings were real, but we're really hiding gold, diamonds, aliens, or whatever on the moon. The simplest explanation is true, which is they did not have the technology to go to the moon. Here's logical proof why. The space shuttle goes just about 200 miles above the Earth. So if you had a one-foot globe, that's only about 1 inch or less above the Earth. Now, the moon is 30 globes away. So you have to compare 1 inch of space travel in this visual exercise to 30 feet away. Now, they're claiming that with 4 decades older technology than that we have today, they went 100,000% farther and never killed anybody when the space shuttle has killed 14 people only going 200 miles above the Earth. Technology does not go backwards unless the moon landings are real. And for the first time in history, technology has gone backwards, and I guess there must be time travel out there too.
First-time caller line, Anthony is in Florence, Alabama on Coast to Coast. Anthony?
Yes.
You're talking with Bart Sabrell.
Yes, very good job with all the evidence, Bart. And it's good to talk to you, Ian.
And you. Go ahead. You had a specific question or comment?
Yeah, my comment was just to reinforce the evidence, or at least prove that the pictures and the lunar landings had to be faked. If you look at the footage, the actual film footage of them landing, you'll see tons of dust kicked up, and it's going, you know, around the edge of the ship itself. It shows pictures later on of them landing or having already landed. If you look those pictures up, they have very high-resolution pictures online. All you have to do is just put in a search, lunar lander footpad on moon or something like that, and it'll pull it up for you. You can zoom into these pictures as close as you want. They're high-resolution, and there's absolutely no dust on any of the footpads, and it looks like they've just been set on top of the dust there. But if you look around the footpads, there's footprints everywhere where they've been stomping around, and I'm sure the lunar lander must have landed at least harder than they're putting their feet down.
Well, fair enough. But here's a question then, because I think that kind of – I found that to be kind of a contradictory piece of your DVD, Bart, is that you make – at one point you make the argument that the – that NASA went for intentionally low-resolution pictures and that they actually undershot from the technology that existed at the time what they were doing on the moon so as to obscure what was happening.
Well, that was for the TV pictures. What they did, most of the world saw the TV pictures. The still pictures didn't come out until actually weeks later. So the initial comprehension in people's mind was the TV images, which were only black and white, even though Gilligan's Island found it worthy to go into color back in 1963. Now, they projected the images of the TV on a projection TV of, you can imagine the quality of a projection TV 40 years ago. Then they had TV cameras at 40 years of age shoot that off a projection TV. Then they had another camera again shoot that off of a TV monitor. Then they had those people bounce it off a satellite or two or send it through a phone line to the network. The networks were complaining, why can we not take a direct feed from the moon? It's because the TV sets and the still picture sets were two different sets. They had to be able to do a 360 panoramic view for the television viewers to look convincing. And they were just shooting that and maybe a fuel drum, like at the airport size moon landing set. So there wasn't a whole lot of detail to it. Now, the gentleman who built the cameras, which I believe were equivalent to 70-millimeter cameras for the pictures, who himself says this, I do not understand why the pictures turned out that way. It's illogical. And that's the guy who built the camera, by the way. Those sets were much higher quality. And that's the one where you can see these details that your caller is talking about. I mean, there are very odd anomalies in this. I mean, they claim that there's sunlight on the moon that is 20 times brighter than that on Earth. And if you go to moonmovie.com, you can see samples of shadows, which should be parallel if it's sunlight, the sun being 92 million miles away and 1 million times bigger than the Earth. Those shadows go out on a sunny day and stand 3 feet from your friend. Your shadows will never, ever intersect. But in some of these pictures, they intersect by 90 degrees. That's because they're using an electrical light. And the proximity of one person to a light that's a few feet behind you and another person are going to shoot those angles off at 90 degrees. I'm a filmmaker. My job is to make fake scenes look real. I've been asked to testify in court as to authenticity of the moon landings. I can look at the pictures and tell you that that is shot with electrical light. That's my specialty. That there's so much proof that we didn't go to the moon, not just the footage I uncover, not just the shadows, not just the dust. It just keeps going on and on and on. And because people are so predisposed in their emotions, they will not see the truth, Ian. I mean, it's like, me trying to tell you that your mom killed three people before you were born. I mean, you just won't believe that, no matter how true it is.
You don't know my mother. Let's go to Daryl in California on Coast to Coast AM for Bart Sabrell. Daryl?
Yeah, hi. Bart.
Hi.
I read your arguments, and they're very compelling. I did have a couple questions and a comment. Do you believe we ever made it to the moon? Or of all the moon missions, do you ever believe we made it or even orbited the moon? I guess that's question number one. Question number two is, what was Apollo 13 all about? Just a made-up story?
In answer to your first question, the footage that we uncovered was of them faking a shot of being halfway to the moon that was shot about 12 hours before they allegedly landed on the moon. Now, the shot of allegedly being halfway to the moon is absolutely false. Now, deductive reasoning says that that means they couldn't go halfway because we'd be seeing a real shot. And if I were them, I would shoot the real pictures as long as possible and at the point where you can't do it anymore, fake that point forward in the mission. So they're faking being halfway to the moon, which simply means they couldn't go halfway. They can orbit the Earth, but they cannot leave Earth orbit. Now, if your Volkswagen Bug cannot go 500 miles an hour, my Volkswagen Bug cannot go 500 miles an hour because they're clones of each other. So all the Apollo rockets were clones, too. So we know that Apollo 11's equipment could not leave Earth orbit, and that means none of it did. In regard to Apollo 13, the fact is when they went to the moon the second time, the American public was so jaded, they said we'd already seen it before. We don't need to be tuning in, and they complained that reruns of I Love Lucy were being interrupted. So what a coincidence. The very next mission involved life and death jeopardy, and get how audacious they were. Now, 13 is an unlucky number, right? It's Apollo 13, and on April 13th, at 13:13 military time, they had this alleged accident. See, that was the most despicable of all the moon missions, because that alleged, problem was completely contrived to get people to start watching the moon missions with more interest so they could keep milking the taxpayers for billions of dollars.
Scott is in Hermosa Beach, California for Bart Sabrell. So far, all the callers agreeing with Bart. Scott, where are you with this?
Well, thanks, Ian, have a good evening. It's great to talk to you because I've become a big fan of yours. Bart, I thought I heard you say earlier that there were no pictures of Neil Armstrong and no interviews of Neil Armstrong.
There were no still pictures of Neil Armstrong as the first man to walk on the moon. The very high-resolution pictures that the other caller was talking about. Now, there are TV images, but technically they're not him. That was done by someone else because his face was covered. And there's no one-on-one interview that I have a record of other than the initial press conference.
Okay, well, when I heard you say that, because I remember a 60-minute piece, and I did a quick Google search, and in like 20 seconds I found an interview of Neil Armstrong done by Ed Bradley on 60 Minutes.
Now, how long ago was that?
It was in 2005.
Is that the one where he's doing book promotion?
But an interview means that you're wrong when you say that there's no interview.
Well, I had heard about that, but I don't have a record of it. Apparently, I don't know if he's hard up for money or because the moon film that I made, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, had come out right before that, and I had heard, but I hadn't seen it, so I can't say that it exists, but I had heard that he had done some sort of book promotion interview. So here's what we've got. We've got him talking for 10 seconds on the 25th anniversary, and we've got him out hawking a book off on the 35th anniversary, and that's all he's done. Hadn't talked to school children.
I want to side with Scott here because you said that it's proof that he is part of the fake.
I said that it's suspicious.
Well, but you said it. He's,
call
he's,
him up. Why don't you call him up? You've got the best, or at least well-known, or both, talk show in America. Why don't you call up the guy and see if you can get an interview with him? Show me a Walter Cronkite interview. Show me a Barbara Walters interview. Show me a Time magazine, Life magazine, any prestigious magazine that has an interview with him after he allegedly walked on the moon. They do not exist. Show me one still picture. Come on. He's the first man to allegedly walk on the moon, and there's not one single still picture of him allegedly doing that. Don't you find that weird?
Scott?
The Ed Bradley piece has Walter Cronkite talking to him as well.
Well, I guess I need to watch it anymore and not throw it away like a
You gun. Couldn't find it on Google. So, I think you have some interesting points, but you take them and make these conclusions from them as if you're the one who has the religious belief that it could never have happened without taking an objective view of the evidence.
Well, it's not a religious belief that it couldn't have happened. I mean, come on, give me a break. It's just based on the facts. I have footage that is in the movie of them faking a shot of being halfway to the moon. I mean, have you seen a funny thing happened on the way to the moon?
He's gone.
To your caller.
I don't know. He's gone. Let me get to Nicholas.
Well, it sounded like he hasn't, because when I saw this footage that we uncovered of Neil Armstrong, Michael Collins, and Buzz Aldrin faking a shot of being halfway to the moon, I went beyond theory. It's a fact.
I understand that's how you interpret that shot, as faking it, but I don't know that that's how they would describe what happened in that image. But fair enough. Let's go to let's get Nicholas to hang on. Hang on, Nicholas. I pulled you up, and I'm going to put you back down again, and we'll make you first out of the box coming up after the top of the hour. Another half hour. And thank you so much, Bart Sabrell, for giving us more time. People who are NASA fans, people who are astronomy buffs, people who say that Bart's arguments don't hold scientific water, and those who say that they do, coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. And then we'll do open lines. This is Ian Punnett.